God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our sermon today comes from the Old Testament reading. The very last verse of our reading for today, the righteous shall live by his faith. But we also see what is stressed in our other readings. We see Jesus stressing faith. We hear Paul telling Timothy, the young pastor, to trust not in faith itself. Faith is never something of its own. We don't have faith in our faith. But the question we ask today and reflect on is, what is the object of our faith? Faith is always in something else. What is it that we are taught to put our faith in? You heard it from our hymns. I know my faith is founded. Faith always has an object. And when Jesus is that object, all other cares and concerns of this life seem petty. And the more we hear of God's kindness in Jesus and the forgiveness of sins, we hear what the author of this hymn, I know my faith is founded, that this is a treasure, the forgiveness of sins. Riches to inherit. We just sang that. So let us reflect on that. In this verse from Habakkuk 2, verse 4, the righteous shall live by his faith. This text from Habakkuk 2, I don't know how often you read from the book of Habakkuk at your home, in your home devotions, but I would guess not very often. But Habakkuk 2, verse 4, is very influential in Christianity as a whole, but also specifically Lutheranism. You see, in the year 1510, 5 years after Luther entered the monastery, Luther went on a pilgrimage to go to Rome, the center of the church. Luther traveled there, and when he got to Rome, he was not impressed. In fact, he was very disheartened. Immorality among the church priests and cardinals and bishop was rampant. They would drink to get drunk. They gambled the church's money away, and they spent the church's money on prostitutes. Luther was furious. He couldn't believe. Here he was supposed to find the epitome of the Christian church, and he finds nothing but filth. On this pilgrimage, one of the things a monk was to do was to climb the 28 steps of the St. John Church. This was supposed to be the staircase that Jesus climbed to go to the judgment hall of Pontius Pilate. And there, every pilgrim who came to Rome would kiss each of the 28 steps that Jesus' blood was poured on. The church taught since 850 A.D., since 850 A.D., the church said if you climbed these stairs on your knees, kissed each step, then you would be granted an indulgence for the forgiveness of your sins. It was while he was doing this, reportedly, that Luther says these words of Habakkuk came to his mind. The just shall live by his faith. Luther said it was a glorious light that had beamed down on his soul as if he had entered heaven itself. Luther was taught by the Holy Spirit that it was not faith in his efforts to give him comfort, but faith in the efforts of God. The work of Jesus Christ is what gives us forgiveness and the assurance of our faith. The death and resurrection of Jesus. Faith in his works that are given to us. Not only was this passage important for Luther, but St. Paul himself quotes this passage 2 times in his epistles, Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3, verse 11. In addition to that, the author to the Hebrews quotes Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. This passage, as obscure as it might seem to you, it's very important to the Christian faith. In fact, one might say this is the main doctrine of the Scriptures. The just shall live by faith. Now, some people say that St. Paul invented this idea that salvation is received only by faith, faith in Jesus Christ. Some say, oh, that's a New Testament invention. But now that you know this passage from Habakkuk, you can argue back and say, no, this passage is as bright a light in the Old Testament as it is in the New. You can be like St. Paul. You can be like Luther. Because it's true. Our sinful flesh is often tempted, like Luther, to think that it is our efforts, or it's the way that life is going around us that, well, then we can draw comfort, and then we can be happy. But no, the Holy Spirit came to St. Paul. Jesus visited St. Paul himself, gave him wisdom and true faith. The just shall live by faith. This doctrine is not just in the New Testament, but even the basis for the Old Testament. By saying that the just shall live by faith, though, that falls a little short. Habakkuk teaches us that faith is the most important. So important, you heard it in the Gospel reading today. Jesus says faith is so important. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do something impossible. Not the ability to climb stairs to earn indulgences. But Jesus says you could say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now that's all well and good, Jesus, and that sounds very nice. But Jesus, I don't need faith for my gardening. I don't need you, Jesus, to die on the cross so that I can transplant a tree from one part of my yard to the other. Jesus, what about the economy? My 401k is in the trash. There is a war raging on the other side of the globe, the Ukraine and Russia. We hear murmurs and words and rumors about nuclear war. Job prospects are next to nil. My parents don't seem to understand me. My friends, they don't like me. These, Jesus, are true problems. Mulberry trees? The just shall live by faith should be a little bit more, well, Jesus, a little bit more helpful. Well, Habakkuk helps us a little bit today. The context for the Old Testament reading is the prophet lamenting that it appears that everything is falling apart. Well, falling apart for some people. Falling apart for God's people. The wicked, they seem to be faring just fine. The prophet writes, the wicked surround the righteous. He says, violence surrounds me, strife, contention. Why be a Christian? Because it sure seems the wicked get their way in this life. Justice does not happen, God. Why do you make me see iniquity, the prophet says. Why, God, do you stand idly by and look at wrong? The prophet laments exactly the feelings we feel when life just doesn't go well. God, why don't you put an end to injustice? Take all the evil and just put it away, God. Why don't you right all the wrongs? Destroy all evil. God then answers Habakkuk. He says, I will speak. I will give you an answer. Whew, good. Thanks, God. I can't wait to hear this. Finally, you're going to do something. Let's hear it, God. Let's hear your wonderful plans. God continues, write the vision down. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. Spread the word. The vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. God builds it up. It will not delay. This is sounding great, God. I can't wait to hear it. The just shall live by his faith. Wait, what? That's the answer, God? God, you have the opportunity to speak, to declare your word created the world out of nothing. And he says, be patient and live by faith. Thanks a lot. If the mulberry tree is a disappointment for the New Testament, even worse, poor Habakkuk and having to deliver this message to the people who are facing all kinds of injustice. But consider this. If God were to destroy the wicked, those who do injustice, if God were to right all the wrongs to pay exactly for what each sinner deserves, where would that leave you? If God were to destroy those who do violence, what should he do for you whose thoughts, they're not always about helping? We're not always about being of service to our neighbor. We don't always love our enemies. When others suffer at your hands, what is the answer from God for when we are the ones in the wrong? When we sin, and let's be honest, that's probably more than we ourselves know, nor would we want to acknowledge. Right away, we might jump in and say, well, I'm not as bad as that guy. I don't start wars. Well, the psalmist has a few words. Today, the psalmist says, those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. St. Paul writes, there is none who does good. All fall short of the glory of God. Luther, he says, we are all beggars before God. This is true. God will not flinch. When it comes to being tempted by the devil, when God himself takes on flesh and he is tempted to look to this world for his peace, when the devil is looking to tempt Jesus to not trust in someone else, Jesus stands steadfast. Because Jesus knows it's not faith in something that will save him. He knows it's faith in someone. In the deliverance of his heavenly Father. This passage in Habakkuk doesn't teach us the character of Luther. It doesn't teach us the character of St. Paul. But it teaches us the character of God himself. That God knows your struggles. God knows the temptation to think that in this world is where we find our comforts. But he says, don't put your faith in things that are not enduring. Don't put your faith in things that rust and moth can destroy. God knows the difficulties we face in this life, and he's not going to solve it just by giving you things that are going to fade away. Things that you can't take to eternal life. Even in dealing with others who sin against us, you heard Jesus talking about, if a brother sins against us, God would have us say to them what God says to you. I forgive you. Three words related to the just shall live by his faith. Faith in what? Faith always has an object. Faith in Christ Jesus' death on the cross has taken away all our sins. Our sins of doubt, our sins of impatience, our sins of anger, our sins of despair. God says to you, I forgive you. That's his answer. Because God knows that's the greatest treasure ever. And instead of throwing you into the sea with a millstone, God has, in Christ Jesus, thrown our sins into the sea. Even the prophet Micah says God casts all of our sins into the sea. That all that we deserve, Jesus took on the cross. And he gives us all that Jesus deserved. Perfect forgiveness, eternal life, that is yours. So if we live by faith, Jesus then is the object of our faith. Not faith in our works, not faith that life in this fallen world will always be perfect. In fact, when life is going very well, that's when we stray. And then in the waters of baptism, he says this to you personally. I forgive you. I give you a new life. I drown you in the waters of baptism and I raise you up to new life. Here, when we are tempted to think that God is just standing idly by, or maybe he isn't even there, as Habakkuk laments, God says the just shall live by his faith. Because Jesus is raised from the dead, you and I will see eternal treasures, and finally in the resurrection, we will see what a glorious treasure it is to live by faith in his promises. Because if you think about it, either way, you have to live by faith when it looks like things are going bad. You have to believe that you are your only hope, and it's up to you to make things right, or you believe that more money or an easier life is actually going to happen, and then nothing will go wrong again. Or you can put your faith in Jesus, one who has defeated death, has been raised to the right hand of God, and he has some pretty great promises for you, that he is good, that he will right all the wrongs, and you and I will also rise from the dead. So he is the object of our faith. And since the just or the righteous shall live by faith, we know that the object of our faith, Jesus, is raised from the dead, and our faith is not in vain. He's promised you forgiveness. And as our faith grows in him, as we begin to see how valuable the promise of forgiveness is, how blessed we are to be patient, how blessed we are to wait on the Lord, to hear his word, all the money, all your worries, all the wars and rumors of wars will fade into shadows. Shadows that once scared us, but now that is only what they are. Shadows. God does not hate you. Even though you sin, he doesn't consider you his enemy. He's not going to tie a millstone around your neck to drown you because of your sins, but he's taken your sins on the cross. And so for that, we are glad to hear, Habakkuk, be patient and wait on the Lord, for the just shall live by his faith. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.